Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are in the second half of the church year. The first half of the church year follows the life of Christ. It hits all the big events of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, of course. His birth, his epiphany, his transfiguration, and certainly, of course, his suffering and his death, and then his resurrection. And we even get Pentecost after he ascends into heaven. The second half of the church here is often referred to as going through the life of the Christian church. Now, this could lead us to the mistaken notion that, okay, we've gone through the life of Christ in the first half. Okay, now we're done with that. Let's get on to the life of the Christian church. But in fact, the life of the Christian church is nothing else than the life of our Lord active in his holy Christian church, active in the very lives of his holy people. And so perhaps that's why, as kind of a reminder to us as we're making our way through this long part of the second half of the church here, we're about one third of the way through, and the gospel reading for today shows us the things Jesus did on Palm Sunday. Jesus has just entered into the city. We know it well, on a donkey, hailed as the king, hailed as the deliverer. Everybody's happy. Everybody's joyful. Here he comes to be our savior. But when all of that dies down, we then see that as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, as we heard in our gospel reading, he weeps over the city. He is overcome with emotion at what he is witnessing. Because you see, on that day, now we know it well, we have heard the whole story, Old Testament and New Testament, why Jesus was entering into Jerusalem on that day. He knew. He was heading to the cross. He was going into the city in order to suffer on the cross, to die on the cross. No one else there knew. They didn't really understand. They hailed him as king, as deliverer. They didn't really understand what that meant. They did not want a savior who was just going to die. And so he laments, he sees the city, he weeps over it. And then he makes, because as he says, they did not know the things that make for peace. Now how could they know? You see, we know the whole story. But how could they know? How can he expect them to know the things that make for peace when Jesus had not even brought it about yet in his suffering, death, and resurrection? Because they had the scriptures. They had the written word of God. And it's all there. It's all there in what we call the Old Testament, pointing the way to the Savior. But even more, they had even more than the written word of God. They had Jesus himself. For 3 years, he engaged in his ministry, and they heard him and they saw him. They should have known. They should have known the things that make for peace, because they had the Bible. They had Jesus Christ in the flesh, but they didn't know. They didn't truly understand what makes for peace. And then Jesus makes a prediction. And it's sobering. It's really hard to hear what he predicts. The destruction of the temple. The decimation of the city of Jerusalem. Jesus predicted this, and 37 years later, it happened in 70 AD. It came about. Now, Jesus predicted it. That doesn't mean that he wanted it to happen. He certainly did not intend for it to happen. His prediction is simply that. He knew it was going to happen. God is aware of everything, including what is to come. And he saw that because of their rejection of the things that make for peace, they would be decimated. And then he says, because they did not know the time of their visitation. Now, what is this? What is the time? What is their visitation? It is something that Luke, in his gospel account, it's roughly about two-thirds of the way through Luke 19 of our gospel reading. At the very beginning of his gospel reading, he begins to develop this. In the womb of the virgin, scripture was being fulfilled. A baby conceived in her womb, not with her fiancé to be, or her fiancé, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, born of her womb, sinless, born in order to be the Savior of all. And what do the angels declare on that day when Christ was born? Peace on earth. That is what was announced. And still today, we take up their words as we sing it in the Gloria in Excelsis. We see, in fact, that there is peace on earth. It sure doesn't look like it. People long for peace. They want there to be peace on earth in their own lives, which often seem anything but peaceful. Warring nations to finally come together and work with each other for the good of everybody. This is what people want. They want peace. They want to be able to lay down at night and have a peaceful sleep. They do not want to be agitated by all the things that are going wrong in their lives and all the things that are going wrong in society and the world. People want peace on earth, and they say it can never be. And those people who say, well, yes, it can be. We just need to do what those things we need to do to make it happen. But Jesus says, or Jesus shows in his actions there on Palm Sunday, that it can never be in this lifetime. Not according to the way we are seeking for peace. Not according to the way that we are trying to bring about peace. Because we do not recognize the time of our visitation. That is, we are looking elsewhere and not at Christ, who has come in the flesh and who went to the cross to bring about this peace on earth. It is peace, first and foremost, between God and us. The forgiveness of sins. God's wrath upon sinners poured out upon his own Son. He taking the brunt, in fact, the full force of the condemnation that we people, all of us sinners, deserve. He took that upon himself so that there may be true peace on earth. We don't realize it in its fullness in this lifetime. When he returns again in glory and ushers in his eternal kingdom, yes, we will have peace without any of the turmoil and the agitation in this life. But in fact, there can be peace on earth. Because you and I, we see what it is that Christ has accomplished. Not just back then, riding into Jerusalem, going to the cross, suffering on the cross for the sin of the world, conquering the grave by rising from it. But we also see that in fact, there is peace on earth. In fact, in this very place, at this very time, the Word of God continues to be proclaimed. That gospel, the message of peace, reconciliation between God and sinners, at this very altar, the body and blood of Christ given to us to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins. We should not look elsewhere. We should not try to bring about peace. Certainly, we should do everything we can to try to be at peace with one another. But the true peace, the lasting peace, eternal peace, comes about only through Christ. That is why he has come. That is why he entered into Jerusalem. It broke his heart when he saw the city, and so he wept over it. It continues to break God's heart when he sees that we continue to sin. Thus the need that we need to continue to repent, that we need to continue to look not in ourselves of ways that we can bring about peace with God, but rather look to him, specifically to his Son, as he has come to us in his word, in our baptism, at his very altar, giving us himself, his body and blood, for the forgiveness of sins, where we, in fact, are given by God the peace that surpasses all understanding and which guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.